and we will communicate with you as best we can, and you'll catch on quick. There's no special fancy language or anything like that. We're just people trying to love God, and we love His Word. We really actually believe that when you learn and live by the words of Scripture, your life is better. Your eternity is set, and your relationships are stronger. Genuinely believe it and have experienced it. And that's where our bottom line is. And so if you're here today and you're learning about what Church in the Falls is about, that's where we start and that is where we end. This time of year is so exciting. The poinsettias and the trees and it's like pregnant with excitement. And if you go out and visit with folks and you see the looks on their faces and the excitement and the what's coming next and what when is Santa Claus coming and what am I going to get for Christmas and what am I going to give for Christmas, and we get that energy and it begins to build pretty quickly. And I think you kind of feel a little bit of it, you know, as I was deep frying my turkey, I began to feel a little of that, you know, that excitement. And then it just moves layer by layer and more lights. And just the excitement is truly a special time of year. We use the term Advent, which Jesus was on His way coming and there was an excitement. And we refer to that as the Advent, the coming of Jesus and all the excitement that it brought. And now we're waiting for the second Advent, the second coming of Jesus. And it's also bringing a level of excitement. But this time of year really highlights that. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. And I really trust that God has a message of encouragement for you today, especially if you're new to the Christian realm. I hope you'll listen for what God has to say to you today, because He's got something important. Those of you who have been around, you're already listening for God, and He's going to speak to you. I have no doubt about it. But those of you who maybe are not used to that, listen. Listen for what God has to say. I want to start today by telling a story, and I've broken the story up into three little video clips, and we're going to kind of unpack the story because it'll do a much better job showing you than telling you. So we'll begin with this clip. Go ahead.
My name is Heavenly Dog Jerkins, and I'm 5 years old. My talent is mostly singing.
How do you feel when you sing?
I feel happy.
You feel happy?
Very happy. And I love tap. I am so excited.
Now, no one in here has met this young lady, I assume, and maybe I shouldn't assume that. But are you not all rooting for her already? Are you not all so proud of her? Do you not already feel the sense of excitement about her future and what she will be capable of? It doesn't take long to feel something very distinctive. An expectation, a hope, if you will, when you see something like that. absolutely precious. But imagine if you knew heavenly joy. What if she were a part of our church, or she was one of your neighbors, or was in your class? Can you imagine the excitement and the hope you would feel if you knew her? Maybe you could relate to and the winner of American Idol 2015 season 14 is going to be Clark or not? Were you guys all there with me? Right? Clark was at our building, helped us lead worship last year, and he goes to the big stage and is him and this other guy. Well, Nick won. But that excitement. I know that guy. He was here and he's about to, oh, and his potential, and he loves the Lord, and oh my goodness, that excitement. Can you feel it? It was a whole different level because we know that guy. Or what about if it were your own kid? How much more excited would you be then? They did a show, I think it was the Oscars, if I recall correctly, a few years back, where people who were nominated for an award, they interviewed their parents. So, has little Johnny always been, right? Is those kind of questions? And mom or dad would be sitting there, and they'd always say something like, yeah, they've always been, and they were this, and they were that. I remember one time when they were, and it's just, and their face is glowing and beaming, and they just know, win or lose, that's my kid. And the excitement is a whole different level. The hope, this is my child, my boy, my girl. Wow, there's some tremendous hope, excitement, joy, anticipation in those moments. I can only imagine what it was like for George H. Bush to sit at the inauguration of his son, George W. Bush, and to look there and to have him take an oath of office and to say, that's my boy. Can you imagine what that would have felt like? To have that heritage and that lineage, because that's our kid. This is the context of Jeremiah 33. I'm going to put this on the screen, but if you'd like to turn to it, Jeremiah 33. I'm going to be reading from the ERV. But this is the backdrop. If you would imagine, God is saying to his people, I have got something exciting, something full of hope. And it begins and it ends with, my boy. Listen to God as he says these things in Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16. This message is from the Lord. I made a special promise to the people of Israel and Judah. The time is coming when I will do what I have promised. At that time, I will make a good branch grow from David's family. That branch will do what is good and what is right for the country. When he rules, Judah will be saved. The people of Jerusalem will live in safety. This will be his name. The Lord makes things right for us. The Lord makes us righteous. The Lord saves us. If you recall, Jesus, his name means the Lord will save us. He will make us righteous. And so Jesus is being prophesied about here, specifically in his name. God is saying, my boy is on his way. He is almost there. And I am excited. And there's so much hope. You have no idea what is coming. He is on his way. I'm going to do exactly like I promised. And I'm going to send him. And you're going to see him. And it's going to change your world. And I'm so excited. And there's passage after passage after passage. God feels this excitement about his children as well. And there's such effervescence in these passages. And why? Well, Jesus was a whopper, was he not? Born of a virgin. Mary was pregnated by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that works. Jesus grew in her womb, was born of a virgin. He lived this incredible life. He was not afraid to be vulnerable. He was a baby. He was tired. He got hungry. Jesus suffered pain. Jesus laughed and snorted milk through his nose. Jesus had a mom and a dad. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Jesus was that guy who just would be with people, and he was fun, and he was deep, and he would say things, and you would have to go, oh man, that makes my head hurt. And then he would say something that quick and make you laugh. He walked on the earth. His feet got dirty. And then he would begin to teach. And the things that he would say would mesmerize people. He would speak things and the whole crowd would just lean in and say, who speaks like this? Who teaches with such authority? And then, because he was so powerful and doing incredible miracles and so overwhelmingly wise, the world, those in power, began to get jealous. And they began to lie on him. They tried to trick him, and they never could quite do it. But they just manipulated everything. And finally, they just grabbed him at night, tried him when no one was looking, and killed him. And Jesus, who had all the authority to deal with it, allowed it to happen. And he was buried, and 3 days later, God is still smiling. I told you, my boy is on his way. And 3 days later, guess what happened? He came out of the grave. And because he was raised, we too may have new life. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the story that God was so excited about. And he has been dreaming towards for all of those years. How did he do it, you think? Well, how did Jesus have such a great experience in terms of his authority in this world? Well, he had a great dad. Jesus said on numerous occasions, I only speak what my Father tells me to speak. May his will be done. It was a consistent theme of Jesus. He would go and hide out when he got a little distracted, and he would spend time with the Father and say, God, tell me, teach me, show me, lead me. And then he would go back out and he would serve. And then he would come back in and say, okay, God, I'm a little confused. Where do I need to go now? And God would reach him there. And his father would come spend time with his boy and he would go back out into the world and serve. And thus was the pattern. You could say his father raised him right. Now back to the little girl, Heavenly Joy. I got to thinking, how is this little girl so what she is? What kind of parent does she have? And so I looked Mama up on Facebook. She's there. And Joy is her name. I thought that was interesting. Her name is Joy, and she names her daughter Heavenly Joy, as if little me from heaven. It's beautiful. I'm thinking maybe she has a spiritual nuance to her, and I'm beginning to get curious. And so I look on her Facebook, and I begin to see things like my lovely wife does this all the time. She'll be reading scripture and have some great epiphany, and she'll cut and paste it on the Facebook. And all the world is blessed by her. And she'll find a great picture or a great thought. Well, Joy does the same thing. If you look on her page, it's just one after another, these thoughts. I'm thinking, she's a spiritual woman raising this little girl. Kind of was made me smile a little bit. And then I realized just the other day, November 23rd, a most recent post, she has this underneath it. It says, Jesus has already fought the greatest battle of all. In these times of uncertainty and injustice, God will bring peace. And then she puts a little video and she shares her thoughts. And her daughter, Heavenly, is right next to her. And it's incredible. I want to share a little snippet of that with you as well to carry our story a little farther. Let's watch this.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to tell you that spending time with God and knowing what His Word says it gives me reassurance and it gives me hope for the future, that all that's going on in the world with the terrorist attacks in Paris and the things that come against us that give us fear and that frighten us, God says the battle is not yours, but it's His, and He will fight our battles for us. And God calls us to love one another, love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. That we need to be like Jesus, and we need to love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone, what is it, Heavenly?
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everybody,
everyone that loveth is born of God and
knoweth not.
He who loveth not
knoweth not God.
For God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. So just let's love each other and let's pray for one another. God bless you.
Wait a minute, what kind of mama do you see there? You see Heavenly is hiding out in the sides. And what was she doing as she was quoting scripture? You saw her eyes. She was getting her daughter to join her because her daughter had clearly learned that verse. They had studied this together. Mom is training up the child in the way she should go. And little Heavenly Joy is just bubbling forth. Just like Jesus had a great dad, little Heavenly Joy has a great mom. Track with me a little bit. It's going to make more sense in a minute, I promise. But you follow this story and you think, what is going on with that? And I noticed, I thought I'd be interested. There was a video of Heavenly Joy's singing and then this mama's video. And underneath it is, November 25th, the guy named Sean Gray or whoever this guy is. This is what he says. This is the top quote as he responds. He says, I'm a Muslim and I came across such a blessing today when I heard you sing, talking about Heavenly Joy, and seems such a loving and beautiful personality. Our Creator blesses us as children, and that light shines bright in you. One doesn't have to be a Christian to see it and to know that your heart is pure. May our Creator keep blessing you and your family with His love and with His grace. It's almost like a testimony to Christian faith from a Muslim because of how pure and how simple the faith of this child and mom is. Kid has a great mom. And that has impact. And that brings hope. Because the child has a great parent. But I want to share one more thing that I think is even cooler. Impact. So what? This little girl is only 5 years old. What could she possibly do? What kind of hope are we dreaming about? We're all on board with her in the future, right? Well, what is she doing right now? One last little clip and see just the impact.
Now, you know, if you win this whole thing, you get $1 million.
Well, if I get $1 million, I want them to keep them. I want to give them all over the world because some people don't have any clothes, so I'll give some clothes to them.
Aww.
Beautiful. You raise it right.
You know, when I was a little boy, not much older than you, if you can imagine that, Heavenly, I used to watch Shirley Temple in movies on TV.
I watched that.
You watched that too?
Yep.
You know, I think Shirley Temple is living somewhere inside of you. Is that possible? Because...
Well, not Shirley Temple, Jesus.
There you go. How you talking?
Did you catch that? She is on national TV interrupting Howard Stern. Do you know who Howard Stern is, first of all? Let's take a minute. If you were to pick the top five personalities that most embarrass America to the world, Howard Stern is in the top five. Don't take much to look him up. The stuff he discusses as a jock, a shock jock, if you will. He's got a TV show and a radio show, and he brings the worst of society and highlights their brokenness. Filthy language, filthy topics. And this guy who's trying to clean up his image on a show like this says, oh, well, there you go. He's impressed. This little five-year-old just witnessed to Howard Stern on national television. And why did she do it? Because she has Jesus in her heart. And because her mama raised her right. Because she has the power of a good parent behind her. Now we can stop right there and talk about being a great parent, okay? But there's something even grander I want you to see. The power of a great parent. The power to witness to a Howard Stern. But this is what I'm telling you, all this for this one purpose. Listen to this. This is how God feels about you. He is the great father. He is the great parent of you. Each one of you is his child. And he loves you with excitement that goes into prophetic level. He has dreamed of your existence. He created you from the dust. He made you and formed you precisely in your mother's womb and brought you into this world at just such a time as this. His expectation, his hope in you is tremendous. You are his child, and he is the great parent. The power of a great parent can challenge the world as a five-year-old. There's tremendous hope in our life. God has a great hope for your preferred future. See, God was excited about Jesus in Jeremiah 33. He was very excited about him in Ezekiel and Isaiah and all these places. God was very excited about his son. But now he is excited about you. Can you feel that? He's excited about you. Jesus came and left and said, now you go into the world and watch the hope I bring through you. God is the great parent. You are now the child in the scenario, and God has brought you into this world to do amazing things because he loves you so much. Ephesians 3, and I pray that you and all of God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. How wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. But I pray that you'll be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with everything that God has for you. God has a plan for you. God knows who you are. God knows the number of hairs on your head, plus or minus. He knows exactly who you are. And he has a plan for you. And it begins and ends with his son and how much he loves you. He sent him first. He set it all up, and now it's all about you responding to God. And you being the hope of the world. And you being the child with the dad rooting for you to change and to witness to the Howard Sterns of the world. You are that person now. God was excited about Jesus, but now he is excited about you. And with God's power working in us, he can do so much, much more than anything we could ask or even think of. To him be the glory. See, when you say something like that, you got to praise God. And so Paul just says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Just got to praise a little bit when you say something like that. God is saying that I have a plan for you, and I'm giving you power to live out that plan. And I am your dad, and I'm sitting on the sidelines, and I'm rooting at you. I'm the one who's the weirdo yelling and screaming your name because I'm here for you, and I love you, and I will never leave. I will never forsake you. And I've already set it in motion. There's nothing you need because of the love of Christ, my other boy, who already came. That first expectation has now been eclipsed by another expectation, a new hope for the world. There's no backup plan, church. It's us. It's you, each one of you. Some of you are not Christian, don't even know the Lord yet, but guess what? God has you in this plan. And he has built this very day and this very moment for you. The message in the same passage reads it this way. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test the length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full of the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request even in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. See, God was excited about Jesus, but now He is excited about you. He's excited to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine for you, in you, and through you. So what? What do we do now? I want to invite you today to begin a response to God. When Jesus did what He did and He was killed and buried and resurrected, we call that the gospel, good news because of what it means for us. It's that great love that we were just reading about. God has called us to emulate that. He wants us that we call it baptism. There's nothing fancy about the water. God is saying, I want you to be baptized. And when you do that, it's going to look like Jesus. You're going to die to your old self and say, you know what? I'm done with the old world. I want a new hope in my life. And I want to be something different and better. And you're going to die to the old self. And you're going to be buried just like Jesus was buried in the water. We don't keep you down too long. And then we're going to bring you back up. And when you come up, you're a new person. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead. You're joining with Him. And you walk a new life. Because your sins have been forgiven. And once your sins are forgiven, there's no reason God can't live inside of you. And so guess what He does? He sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And He gives you power. The power to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or even imagine. That's the power that Paul was talking about in Ephesians 3. It comes at baptism. Some of you may have given your life to the Lord, but you're pew packers. And you know what that means? That means you sit in your faith and you gripe about everything and everybody. It means that you sit and you look at how everybody else ought to, should, and needs to, instead of standing up and doing what you need to be doing. And so hear a prophetic word from the Lord. It's time for you to step forward and do something different with your life. And allow God to fill it with hope and joy again. Because He's got something in mind for you. He's got a plan for you. And you're sitting on the sidelines instead of being in the game. And it's time to change that. And I want to invite you today to make a decision to move that way. Some of you don't know what baptism is and you want to study a little bit more, find us. We would love to study about it. That's my favorite subject. I'll sit down and I'll let you read the Bible for yourself and I will not force it upon you. I'll just throw it out there and see what you think. And you tell me what you read. Because I want you to make your own decision. Some of you love the Lord. But today's a day that you just want to step it to a new level. Maybe God has been nagging at your heart for this great vision for ministry, this great thing that He's wanting you to sacrifice. And you're like, I do, but really, God? And you're in that stretch moment, you know what I'm talking about. And God is pushing you and He's saying, okay, I got something exciting for you. And I need you to go and sell your car and give it to the poor. I know that, but I don't really want to sell my car. Isn't there another way? And God said, I'll wait for you. It's not about the car. It's about He wants you to do something. And He's calling you to do it. And there's a wrestling match. And one of these days, when you lay that down before the Lord, you know what's going to happen? He's going to smile and He's going to just blow up with excitement again. And the hope will flood into your life. And He will lead you into a new way. I don't know where you're at today, okay? But I want you to hear the voice of God. He has a plan for you. And He wants you to move with Him in that plan. Would you join me? Let's pray together. And I want to ask you as we pray to just pause and respond to God as He's calling you. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we are grateful for Jesus. We are grateful for the tremendous sacrifice that He made. For the amazing things that He did. For the amazing story that He brings. Father, we want to join that story. We want to have that hope. We want to have that joy. We want to submit our lives to You in baptism or fresh anew today as we take another step forward, following You, Lord. Father, I ask that You would reach into our hearts today and pull on us. During this season when Everything makes so much more sense, Lord. Remind us of what's most important. Peel away the layers of gifts and lights and confusion and family get-togethers and fried turkeys. Pull it all away and remind us of our entire purpose to be your child, to bring hope to the world, and to be full of it ourselves. Father, I pray that you would call on us today, that you would draw us, pull us close to yourself in a way that only you can. We pray humbly, boldly, and powerfully in the name of Jesus by the power of your Spirit today. Let the whole church say, amen. If you need to respond today in any way, we have a formal process of stepping forward, and you're welcome to do that. Many people do. But some of you may be a little nervous about stuff like that, and that's okay. You can grab myself or Michael or one of our shepherds in the back or afterwards or maybe later this week. Just don't let what God is calling you to do slip. Respond. Do something about it. Do it today. Let's stand and sing together. If you need to respond, do.
I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change.
You will receive this blessing and go in peace. May you be full of the Holy Spirit this week. May you be drawn to God in an amazingly powerful way as your Father who loves you. And may you do immeasurably more than all you could ever ask or even imagine according to the power that is at work within you and through you and on your behalf. God bless you. Go in peace.